Podcast time. Who's pumped? Can you feel it? Can you feel the energy exuding from me? All right, you guys, I got a lot to talk about, and I have a lot of explaining to do. I'm way too much energy right now or something. I've been drinking this coffee. I got this new coffee. I interviewed Marc Maron, which you're going to hear in a couple of weeks, the Marc Maron interview. It's a two-parter. But his podcast, which is far better than mine, you need to be listening to it. It's called WTF. You can go to WTFpod.com and check that out, or get it on iTunes. It's sponsored by this coffee company, JustCoffee.coop, and he does a thing on his podcast where he takes a sip of coffee, and then he says, pow, I just shit my pants. And it's funny, and it's to imply that the coffee is very strong. Now, this is stronger coffee than I've ever had. It's rocket fuel, and I haven't shit my pants, but it's been a little more viscosity than usual in my stool, and I feel that's okay, but I'm not good with too much caffeine, and I get anxious, and I'm all over the place. Walter's not on this episode. Another thing that's going to make you angry. Walter has a commercial audition, and he's there right now, and he got past the first round of the auditions, and he called me and told me, so he's still there. He was supposed to come back to record, but it was provided he didn't get the audition. You know, he didn't come back for the callbacks, but he did. So I'm happy for him, but that means he's not here. I hope he gets the commercial, and I hope I can play it on a future episode. It's for it's pretty strange. It's for like a dog cookie boutique type. You see a lot of those like in cities, you know, now there's kind of gourmet dog cookie shops. I've never seen a dog savor a meal. I'm a big dog person. I'm not saying anything bad about it here. I just mean you could spend 3 hours perfecting this perfect meal and it's still just down the hatch. I don't really think it matters. But nonetheless, they have these gourmet dog cookie companies and kind of mom and pop places. And Walter is hopefully going to be in one of those commercials. Now, I know promises were made, promises were broken. Things have been fucking nuts for me. And here's why it's so awkward, is that I can't talk about it. I legally can't talk about it. And it's all good stuff. It sounds weird to say I legally can't talk about it. It's all good career stuff. I'll explain the best I can. The last episode was... And I'm going to start making these a lot more consistent. And but the last episode was my mother. It was an interview with my mother, which I thought was very good. I got a very positive reactions about that episode. But so I interviewed my mom. Now, she came and visited me in L.A. from April 17th through the 19th. It's good. I'm glad she came out. It was great to see her. When she left, I was exhausted because her and I are on opposite sleep schedules and different time zones. We were trying to compromise and sort of meet in the middle a little bit. So we were both zombies by the time she left. But the night before she left, I had a show at the Improv here in Hollywood, and it went well. And then she left the next morning. I dropped her off at the airport and went home and slept all day. And then I had to drive to Irvine, California, because I had a Montreal Comedy Festival audition. Which went so-so, and you never hear back about these things, and we'll see, whatever. But I was just exhausted from these shows, and I come home, I went to sleep, and then the next morning I had to go to the Bridgetown Comedy Festival. I was driving up with Andy Peters, who's going to be on this episode. I'm going to get into the Bridgetown thing in a second. The next five episodes are the Bridge tapes. They're all the Bridgetown Comedy episodes, interviews I did. I set up shop in my hotel room. I had a great time at this festival, but it did not start well. Because what happened was I woke up the morning of my birthday, April 20th, and I got Walter up, and we got packed, and we had to go pick up Andy. But when we go outside, I noticed my car's been broken into. Walter thinks it's funny, so I shut him off and throw him in the back and throw my stuff in, and I don't have time to go get it fixed, to get the window fixed before I had to pick up Andy Peters for the carpool. So I just had to rig up a trash bag and some duct tape. And, you know, my iPod's gone. A bunch of CDs are gone. So now I have about 4 CDs left and no iPod that can plug into my car. And the CDs skip. So not a lot of music on the way. So a lot of talking with Andy. We got to know each other quite well. We realized we're both very, very similar in so many ways. I mean, he's a married guy. I think he's a really funny comic. But we both, weird things, like we both, like about 1 out of every 10 status updates on Facebook that he and I post will be a really obscure Queen lyric, because we both really like Freddie Mercury for a reason that I can't put my finger on, but it makes me uncomfortable, and I still fantasize about playing him in a movie, but then I think there would be some scenes that I wouldn't be okay with. So that's neither here nor there. But so Andy and I, we talked a lot on the way up, and it was good. And as a comic, you find yourself in these scenarios a lot, where it's someone you don't really know that well. You're acquainted, you've done shows together and been in similar circles, but it's someone that, I mean, I've never even sat down for and had a meal with Andy Peters, but then you find yourself driving halfway across a country with them. And that is, and that's a thing that happens in the comedy world. And I think it's unique to a traveling profession. I'm sure there's some traveling business people that experience the same thing. If you go to some seminar or something a few cities over, and there's just a work kind of carpool, and it's people you don't really know that well, but you really get to know them. Now, the reason we drove instead of flew is we picked up a gig halfway there. That gig, it was in Oroville, California. It was a casino gig, and it was a nightmare. But I think a lot of people don't realize this about me, about my career, is that in between weeks at clubs in big cities, or in between sort of alternative comedy, indie, you know, liberal rooms that I'm performing at, this is what I'm doing. This is where the real money is, unfortunately, right now in my career, 'cause you don't have to be a draw to do these rooms. There's a built-in audience, but you go, it's called a one-nighter. That's what we call it in the comedy community. And it's kind of always awful. And you go, it's in the middle of nowhere. It's some town that smells like cow shit because there's all the cattle ranches surrounding it. But the people there don't leave and come back, so they don't realize it smells like cow shit. They just live in a perpetual state of cow shit. And because of that, because of the cow shit, there's a lot of psychedelic mushrooms, but the wrong people take the mushrooms, people in a lot of Ed Hardy and tap out teas. So the mushrooms, the animal side it brings out in them is very angry. And you go, and it's a casino, so everyone's already just making awful decisions, and they it's a take the money and run gig, but they pay really well, and you just sort of go up, you go on autopilot. At some point during my set, Andy went on after me. At some point during my set, these guys started chanting faggot at me and then chanting asshole. And there was a point in my career when I would have tried to win them back, or I would have snapped on them. But now, I although I don't say it on stage and it's sort of a hack comeback, I really do realize deep down that I get to leave in the morning and they have to stay in Oroville, California. So you can chant faggot all you want. As long as you don't hit me, I win. So Andy and I had a very interesting experience. This interview, we were both depressed. We were both in a weird mood. Andy was stoned, but we had just eaten. We had just had a depressing post-show gorge on food meal. We had a nice depression meal, and And then we went back up to our hotel room and slept very hard. I wound up getting the window to my car fixed in Oroville or in Stockton, California. On our way, we stopped. That was a nightmare. We ate at a weird place called Eastern Cuisine, and you go to the bathroom to get the soap out, and it's just powder. And it was the whole thing was very strange, but it's a part of comedy I think not a lot of people are familiar with. And I think it's important to be documented. Now, after this interview with Andy, that's the end of this episode. All the other ones are in the can. The Bridgetown comedy episodes are in the can. Then after that, I've got interviews back in L.A. I've got Brent Weinbach. I've got Mark Maron. I've got Ron Lynch. I've got it's some good stuff. So stay tuned. You know, coming up, I've got in the Bridgetown episodes where I'm at the festival with Walter. We're discussing the festival. Things are happening. Words are had. Honesty is portrayed. People are in good moods. People are in bad moods. Some people are sober, like myself. Some people are on heroin. It's a strange time, but it's a wonderful time. I'm interviewing. I got an interview with Andy Wood, who founded and books the festival. Brett Hamill, like I said, Brooke Van Poplin, Sarah Schaefer, who's a writer and blogger for Jimmy Fallon, Solomon Giorgio, a Seattle comic who's moving to New York soon that I'm a huge fan of. Mark Allender, who's my animator on a project I'm working on, and a really good friend and I think a brilliant artist. There's a lot of stuff. Faye Canale, who I think is a wonderful improviser and very unique stand-up, a very unique voice. So it's gonna be good. You're gonna get a lot of comedy coming at you, or a lot of talk about it at least, in the next few episodes. But this episode, the beginning of the journey. The car had been broken into. Walter is in the casino causing a ruckus, and Andy and I just got done shame eating following one of the worst gigs I think of my career. And that's the start of our trip. We thought it may have been an omen, turned out not to be, but you know, put some money in our pockets, it paid for the trip. But anyway, regardless, he's a good friend of mine, he's a funny guy, add him on all the social network stuff. New episode in 2 days. It's already recorded. I got to do a point and click. You're going to hear it. I apologize because when I got back to L.A., things got really nuts. And it's, you know, with the cartoon and with some sketches I've been writing. And again, it's nothing I can talk about. But you'll see the fruits of the labor soon. And then I can discuss everything. And it's not going to last forever. All heat disperses. And I'll be back to my good old-fashioned not doing shit with my life self. Probably in a matter of weeks. These are the bridge tapes, everybody. These are the bridge tapes, the next 5 episodes. I hope you enjoy them. And I think it captures pretty well an experience not many people get to have. And I'm excited about it. Here's Andy Peters and I in a hotel room in Oroville, California, seething with depression. On one of the worst gigs we've ever done, opening for a guitar comic who closes singing With or Without You and tries to get laid. Andy Peters.
He did, so this guy, what this guy's shtick was is he did
he's got a guitar.
Guitar and impressions.
You know, and their impression, crazy impressions. Like, what if Bob Dylan sang Bruce Springsteen songs?
But I missed that part.
What would that
sound
like?
I was out doing other things.
What were you doing?
I was smoking.
Marijuana?
Yeah.
Did you smoke a marijuana cigarette or did you smoke a pipe?
I had to. Well, that was kind of my treat to myself.
Okay,
I
fair enough.
I went in the parking lot.
We wound up doing 10 minutes. And this show was so fucking terrible. From the get-go, dude, that it's the worst show. I'm not going to say it's the worst I've done in a long time because I did worse like last week in L.A. But it's the worst show I've done because that was my fault last week.
And there's no one to blame but the audience. Here's a couple things.
As far as the show goes, the setup, everything about it was wrong. And this is one of those deals because I try to blame myself as much as possible. And I've even discussed this before in the podcast, the other comic Ray Gun, where it's like, okay, you have a situation – and you just bombed. And then if you could suddenly zap in a comic that you really like and see how they could turn that situation around, like how would a comic that we're both really into go up there and handle that? And I think they would have handled it the very fucking same way.
I think so, too.
by trying to keep cool, trying not to snap.
There was no way. I mean, there was. I can't imagine a person that would be successful in that environment.
A funny person.
No, I mean, yeah. Any of my top, like, five comics.
Right. Would have just bombed, crawled off stage. So set it up. What was the deal here?
Well,
first, I think you should explain, because you've done a lot more of these than I have. Explain the concept of casino shows.
Okay, so the way they do it is the casino will have like a lounge or a bar area or maybe even like a showroom with a stage, but they'll just have people, they'll just give away tickets to the comedy show. So that's the first problem there, is they like, if you gamble enough, you get a ticket.
Well, and here there weren't even tickets.
Right.
This was just completely free.
Where people just waltz in, there's no
waltzing right in.
So what happens is people lose all their money, get really depressed, have nothing to do.
They're looking for something free to do in the casino.
Yeah, and they,
lost their mortgage.
But they're mad. They're mad.
They're angry upon entry.
They made terrible decisions all day.
They've already spent up to 3 days in a room with no fucking clocks.
Things didn't work out.
And repetitive victory noises in the background. You know, the psychology of casinos is...
You know what casinos sound like, that nonstop...
Yeah, and like, did you know a lot of that is soundtrack? Like, a lot of that is... Like, there'll be different speakers with sounds of people cheering and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, someone winning at craps, even when the casino's completely empty. Or you'll walk by and hear cheering, and it's coming from, like, where you are, and there's no one there. And there's just different things like that.
I've never experienced that.
Yeah, I've experienced a lot in Vegas. Like, at Caesars, they have that.
Phantom celebrations?
Phantom celebration noises.
I wouldn't put it past the casinos. To pull off something.
Yeah, casinos are...
Because that's what their whole thing with a comedy show is, to get people to gamble more. Because it's kind of like, don't leave yet.
Right.
Check this out.
And they also know that so many comics are so fucked up, they're just going to go gamble their pay back in the casino.
Yeah. And that's why casino gigs pay slightly more than...
Casino gigs do pay pretty well, is they always assume that one out of every three comics is going to go blow all the money they made.
Which usually does happen. Yeah.
Well, it totally happens.
I've hung out with a lot of comics that just turned it right around.
Right.
They would walk right out and go right to the blackjack table. This one dude in Reno just came right back. He like, the show was over for like 10 minutes and his money was gone. Like, I went and grabbed a drink at the bar and he was gone for like 10 minutes and came back and was like, well, that's that. And he just like he threw it right back at the casino.
Let me tell you something, man. Everything about this town, everything about this show, everything about that audience. Pathetic. One word. Pathetic.
Well, here was the specific problems with the setup. Here was that they didn't politely ask in any way for people to come sit up front. So people just meandered.
Or to tell them to be quiet. There was no cell phone speech.
There was no... Yeah,
none of
there
that.
There was no... no disclaimer. Like, nothing.
There was nothing. There was nothing saying anything was... There was nothing that let them know that it was a different atmosphere than outside of that lounge. Which there wasn't really an outside. It just sort of emptied into the slot machines.
But for some reason, everybody who wasn't enjoying themselves still stayed in the room. Because
that's the weird thing. No one walked.
Because I
they
think
they just
after
stayed and hated.
And you also need to know that the it was a packed room, except the areas that you wanted people to be in as a performer, they were not in. So the room runner, the manager of the room, just didn't all think to politely ask people to sit in the tables up front. So it was like a horseshoe of disappointment.
now Andy, let's wrap it up here in a second. What were some highlights for you? Some highlights of this show?
There were none. Like, what do you mean? This one guy had the greatest shirt on that I've ever seen in my life. And he came up to us later. This dude had this like Western shirt that was like blue and black, but it had like lightning bolts all over it.
It was a Garth Brooks shirt. I thought of that song Thunder Rolls when I saw that shirt. But you could tell that this was this guy's nicest shirt. It was his going out
this
shirt.
This was his like
Friday night shirt.
Hitting the casino with the old ball and chain lightning shirt.
Yeah.
And here's what this dude did.
Here's the kicker.
So after a disappointment of a show that we had, Jesse and I used our voucher, went up to the cafe where they were nice enough to give us $18 to split up at the cafe. Pretty good. So we both got burgers. And Lightning Shirt comes up to us. Were we mid-burger or had nothing?
We were mid-burger.
Lightning Shirt comes up. This has never happened to me ever in all my years on the road. He came up and like patted both of us on the back, threw a $5 bill on the table and just like gave a like point and wink and just walked off.
And we can't tell if we should be insulted
we
or not.
We can't decide if it was an insult or
I've been tipped before at like shitty road rooms. Because if you...
Never has this happened to me.
You've never been tipped?
Actually, yeah. One time a dude handed me $75, but I was clear that it was like a good job, dude. Because he was the guy who was laughing the most at the show.
Right. Well, I mean, I've been handed 20s and stuff at free shows. Like when I do a show that's in a road room where you're showing up to the bar, they don't pay cover. And you're just, they just assume they'll sell more drinks, get more business. So the bar pays out like $100 to you.
Yeah.
So you show up, you get $100, you do like half an hour or whatever. And this guy, tips me like $20 or something because I think that's what he would have bought for a ticket.
Right.
You know, or assumed something like that.
But this, $5?
This was, $5.
Flung onto the table where two people are sitting? What does that mean?
And he kind of like made it rain, but it didn't work because it was just one.
Yeah, it was a single.
It was like
drop.
A tear. it came down like a tear and landed on the table. We wound up leaving it for the tip. That was nice.
That was perfectly fine. He got the tip.
Andy, I want to know one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Did we do this?
Why do we do this?
As general, like, why do we keep doing this to ourselves?
Why do we keep doing it? And I understand the financial end of it. I mean, we both need money. We're getting to this festival, and we're sort of doing the festival out of our own pockets. So this is helping us out. But
well, you first start doing these types of gigs for the experience,
exactly,
of doing them.
But I feel like we're there.
Yeah, and then you realize that you don't want those experiences
right.
anymore.
I'm not saying. Don't take the stage time or anything like that. I mean, because a lot of comics are just starting out or listening to this. Always take the stage time, but when you get to a point where you have a choice, where we could do stage time somewhere else,
right?
Maybe it just doesn't pay as much or something.
Well, once we get to that point, we'll be able to make that choice.
Well, I mean, like tonight, we could have gotten on in Portland, could have gotten on in Seattle. You know, we could have done so. We probably could have gotten on in San Francisco or Sacramento.
Yeah.
But
well,
instead,
we drove on.
We drove on into Oroville.
No, but I take gigs like this out of like convenience. Like it was.
No, it is convenient. But what I'm saying is, what psychologically drives us to be somewhat pumped about it beforehand? Because when we're driving here, we're like, oh, tonight will be cool. You know, it'll be fun. You know, whatever. Because you always think it's like heroin. Like you think the next one is going to be that hit that does it. Like that's where you get it.
Well, the thing of comedy is you just don't know where the good ones are going to be. Because sometimes,
exactly.
Like we were talking about this earlier, like sometimes you'll show up at a show or a venue or an environment.
The crowd looks just like the crowd tonight.
Yeah, and you'll be like, oh, Jesus, this is going to be the worst thing that's ever happened to me in my life.
And they're great.
And sometimes it ends up great. Like there's this gig, one of my favorite gigs is in this a tiny town that I haven't done this gig in forever. Like I used to do it when I first started, but it's a tiny town called Bozeman in Montana.
Yeah, yeah, I'm familiar with Bozeman.
It's a tribal thing.
Okay.
And it's like a college town, and like most tribal shows are like the show we did tonight.
Exactly.
Like
yeah.
Rednecky, but this one is like cool college kids in between like terrible gigs.
Yeah, Bozeman's a college town.
Yeah. And it's a really fun show.
Yeah, I dated a girl who went to Bozeman.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
I don't believe you.
I really did. You've met her, too.
What's her name?
We'll talk about it later.
All right. Yeah, but so you never know. And so when you try to get pumped up, you try to think each night might be one of those like, all right, I never heard of this town. I don't know anything about this place.
Yeah.
Well, like before
you get the gig, you didn't even know that place existed.
Right.
And none of these places are destinations. They're just places that people stayed. So it already says a lot about the audience. It's like that whole, like, you know, the Obama thing, the cling to the guns and the religion. It's pretty true.
Yeah.
These people never left. Like, and especially places that are close to big cities. That's the thing that blows my mind. If you're in the middle of Montana, all right, I get it. Because all of Montana is sort of that vibe. But if you are doing a gig that is 45 minutes from New York City or 45 minutes outside of L.A., you know, have you done the like Magic Mountain gig, the Merry Calendars?
Mm-mm.
You know, you do a gig
You do a gig at a Merry Calendars?
It's in a Merry Calendars, my friend. Magic Mountain.
What?
Yeah.
You've done this?
Absolutely.
All right. Absolutely. Give me the contact information of the booker when we're done.
Randy
with
Lubis.
This. All right. Thank you. See, this was a perfect display of.
of how we talk.
Of the punishment that comics do.
Yeah, exactly.
Do
like, why would you even accept that?
Like, why would I want to? You just told me that you do comedy in Marie Callender's.
That's actually a great example. Is like a comic could be telling you how much a gig sucks, and you'll still ask them who books it. Because
yeah.
for some
All,
reason,
every time.
The weird ego, you think you could do better, or it'll be different, or that'll be the night that like you get to like fuck the girl, or whatever. I know you're married, Andy.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm just saying that like. It's fucking brutal that we do this to ourselves, and we take the punishment. We're like proud of it in a weird way, and I don't really understand why. Like, when are we gonna grow up enough to realize?
Well, I think it's the set.
It's gonna suck.
Well, no, I think it's a lead up. Like, you think like success to me is not, you know, getting to a point where you don't have to do these types of gigs anymore. So you do them with that like. False sense of hope. Like, I'm going to get to that point where I don't have to do these things.
Did you say success to you is or isn't?
Success to me, that's what comedy success to me is, getting to the point where you don't have to do.
Where you're, yeah, you no longer have to take.
Bad gigs that you don't want to do anymore.
Right.
You can be a little choosy.
Right. But what I was saying about, like, the Mary Callenders or something is, like, a place like Oroville, we're close enough to San Francisco where there's not really an excuse to be here.
Right.
Like, there's a place that's fucking awesome, like, an hour away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's that sort of deal. Like, Montana, I get it. Nebraska, I get it. Some of those road rooms are great.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had some great times in some of those weird little runs, like in Iowa or something. But if you... Okay, if you live half an hour from Los Angeles, and you didn't move to Los Angeles... You know what I'm saying? Like, you know...
There is something weird about that.
There's something weird about that. Or if you're just outside of New York City... You know, just outside of the boroughs. And
people that are... Some of what it is it's a political view. Some people that are raised conservative are raised with this idea that all the problems happening in this country are happening in the big cities.
Right, like cities are just this weird... People
this
just butt-fucking on the street.
Yeah. This
in, like, Satan masks.
Scary, yeah. Butt-fucking in the street place.
Yeah, yeah. muggings... So I don't know, but psychologically I really don't know what drives us to keep doing this. But I tell you one thing though, tomorrow will be good.
See, that's what like I'm trying to be super positive because
no, well it's gonna be fun.
The
even
fun thing, the fun
even
treats you get to do
sucks.
As a comic. Yeah, that doesn't even matter. The fun treats you get to do as a comic are these festivals, these like retreats.
Festivals are a treat because
this is like a vacation for me.
Yeah,
dude.
Because you just it's I mean the Bridgetown Comedy Festival is in Portland. It's a lot of fun.
It's just a gathering.
It's basically, yeah, it's a big gathering. It's everyone does like their weirdest material because there's not really any industry there.
There's a little bit.
There's a little bit, but not, it's not like this huge, it's not like a Montreal or something
like
that.
Yeah, it's not like, it's not a thing where
you're not
constantly
worried.
Showcasing to
yeah, you don't have to
move on.
You don't have
career.
To showcase. Like
yeah.
You can actually, and it's the only time where you can try out new material like in a theater. At
you
least
do, you
at
can
our
do fun
level.
Sets. You can do
yeah.
fun sets.
You have fun, and it's fun for the crowd, and then we just it's a 4-day long party. Now it's not a party for me as much because I don't use marijuana cigarettes like you.
Mistake.
And I'm gonna spend the whole time podcasting with Walter. But you know,
where is Walter?
It'll
tonight?
Be good. He hit the slot machines.
Yeah, he's.
Here's the deal with Walter.
He was really excited to get into a casino.
Well, as a robot, he sort of has like an algorithm, like Rain Man sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like he thinks he's figured out.
Who programmed Walter? Did you program Walter?
No. Walter and I are the same age. He was commissioned in 1986 in London.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I met him in Reno a couple years ago, but
okay.
we've been attached to the hip ever since,
mm-hmm.
But he has this theory that he can figure out within a matter of like 30 minutes the cycles of these machines and the jackpots.
Well, he probably can. He's a robot.
But it is completely random. And he says even if it's random, since that's programmed by a computer, there's an algorithm behind that randomness. So it's not random.
This is him saying that? Like this.
Yeah,
is
this is him.
Thing?
I don't understand any of this bullshit.
Right. I never know what he's talking about.
It's yeah, it was an awkward drive up and he wouldn't stop bitching about the glass. But that's okay, because tomorrow night, you and I, not staying in the same room, staying with Walter.
And we got glass on the window?
Yeah.
Everything's great.
Everything's great. Andy, thanks for being on the podcast. Thanks for the gig. I know it sucked. No, but seriously.
Sorry for the gig, and you're welcome for the gig.
Yeah, we have some money in our pockets and some food in our bellies.
It was a good, bad thing.
And we have something that hopefully we can complain about in the future when things
are
great.
We're going to tell everybody about tonight at the festival.
Yeah, the night the music died.
The night I questioned my decisions.
All right, that's it. So that was Andy Peters, everybody. He's a really funny guy. Check out his stand-up. He's going to be in your town. Look him up. That was the I'm still not coming down off this coffee. It's a little worrisome, actually, at this point. This could be like one of those LSD things where you're freaking out and then like an asshole cop is like, you're never going to come down. What if that's what's the deal with this coffee is? I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to go run a marathon or something. Thanks for listening. 2 days from now, I'm serious. You can physically harm me if it's otherwise. Brooke Van Poplin and part two of five of the Bridgetown Comedy Festival recordings, the Bridge Tapes, where I'm actually at the festival and in a much better mood. So thanks again. Thanks to Andy Peters. Goodbye, everybody.